If you have your Bibles tonight, I want you to begin by finding the book of John. John chapter 16 will be where we will start this evening. And you will need to be able to turn in your Bibles as we'll finish up the message here that we started last week. Let me just remind you to pray for Jeremy and Rachel. Rachel, lift your hand back there if you would, please. She's going to be marrying Jeremy Jones, Lord willing, this Saturday if she doesn't change her mind. And it's a little late now, but you can do it if you want to. I remember with Pastor Williamson, he'd put those guys right on the spot before we would come out. If you're going to run, now's when you need to run, because if you get out there, I'm going to tackle you. And so you pray for them and come back to serve the Lord. Rachel's going to teach in our school next year in our K-4, K-5 program. And she is a graduate of Pensacola Christian College and has her teaching degree through there and been teaching in their K-4 program. I think she told me that you and one helper taught 40 K-4 in one class. 40 K-4 in one class. To me, I'm not sure that there would be anything more miserable in all the world than to do that, but she did and did just an outstanding job. And so we're excited about that. Pray for her and Jeremy, and I'm sure Jeremy's working tonight. He's got a very dangerous job. He's a police officer for the city of Fort Lauderdale. They need our prayers. We started last week a lesson on that I would like to finish tonight on the importance of being filled with the Spirit of God, importance of walking in the Spirit so we would not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We talked about how in the Bible names mean things, and many times the names of God reveal the character of God, the same thing with the Holy Spirit, who is God Himself. We learn a lot by the names in the Word of God that are attributed to the precious Spirit. We learn a lot about the facets of His character and the ministry that He wishes to perfect and perform in our hearts. And most of the trouble that we get in as believers, most of the shortcomings and most of the difficulty that we encounter when it's our own fault is because we're not taking the time and understanding the importance of being Spirit-filled. Probably the greatest verse in the New Testament, or the verse that the New Testament hinges on after that of salvation, would be Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 18. Then you go to the book of Galatians, and you find in that passage, chapter 5, the secret for victorious Christian living, the secret to learn how to not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know, you don't have to be saved very long before you begin to loathe your flesh. You begin to recognize it, and you begin to see it for what it really is. You begin to be under the effect of that, and you see how anti-Jesus your flesh is and the bent that it has. And one day it'll be great when we're glorified and we got our new bodies and we're free from the presence of sin. But until then, we must learn what it is to have victory over our flesh by walking in the Spirit of God. So many times I think believers just take that for granted. And so we're taking our time and going through 10 things that were names of the Holy Spirit or titles of the Holy Spirit that reveal His character. Last week we found in John 14 verse 17 that He was called the Spirit of Truth, and that enabled us not to be deceived. He was the Spirit of Faith in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 13. That enables us not to be discouraged. He's called the Spirit of Grace, Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 29, so we're not disgruntled. He's called the Spirit of Holiness, Romans chapter 1 and verse number 4. And we talked about enabling us not to be defiled. So many of God's people find themselves being deceived, discouraged, disgruntled, and defiled. And they wonder, Pastor, how did I get here? What happened? What's wrong with me? What's wrong with God? What's wrong with this thing called salvation? Where do I find myself? And many of the times we find ourselves when we're not filled or controlled or surrendered to the Spirit of God. For the Spirit of God is all these things in our lives. So if I want truth, I must be filled with the Spirit of truth. If I want to walk by faith, I must be filled with the Spirit of faith. If I need grace, I need the filling of the Spirit for grace and for holiness. I want you to look in John chapter 16 at verse 13 and 14. And this shows what the Spirit's work in our lives is really supposed to do. Look at verse number 13. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, okay, here it is again, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify who?
Me.
Who's the me in that passage? Jesus is the me. So the Spirit of God has come to the earth who indwelled mankind. And when he's here, the work that he is to do as the Spirit of truth is to guide us into all truth. But the glorifying work that he is to do is that he is to glorify Jesus Christ. So the Spirit of God does not draw attention to himself. He magnifies Jesus. All right. So let me show you how this works. Hold your hand and John, go to Philippians chapter number 1. Turn your pages there, or if you got electronically, go with me. Philippians chapter number 1, and look at verse number 20. By the way, in one of our services, Reuben was photographing from the balcony, and we have a lot of you that are using iPads, iPods, and iPhones. And I think we counted a good handful. We've got you targeted. We know where you are. All right, look at verse number 20. Here's Paul's desire. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be, what's that word? Magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. So the Apostle Paul wanted for Christ to be magnified in his body. Now I know you, you love the Lord. You have a desire that Christ is magnified in your body. If Christ is going to be magnified in your body and through your life, it is imperative that we're filled with the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God magnifies and brings glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so truth, faith, grace, and holiness are all part of the character of Jesus Christ. They're part of the life that he brings to us. And there are ways in which the Spirit of God does that work in our lives to magnify the Lord. There's nothing more beautiful than truth, nothing more beautiful than faith, grace, and holiness. Now, apart from the filling of the Spirit of God, these are void to our physical ability. They're void to our flesh. It must take the filling of the Spirit that is to glorify the Lord, to magnify the personality of Christ in me. And so these are important, and it's imperative. So I'm not deceived, I'm not discouraged, I'm not disgruntled, and I'm not defiled. And by the way, let me just say, all of us are susceptible to being those things. All of us. The day you leave thinking you can handle it on your own is the day you are open for deception. You are open to be discouraged. You're open to be disgruntled. You're open to be defiled. And so the greatest protection that you and I have in this area is to be filled with the Spirit of God. It's not trivial. It's not preacher talk. It's not me up here trying to be holy. Most of the problems that I deal with in the area in the lives of people are because they don't understand what it is to be filled with the Spirit of God. And so I'm preaching to you along those lines. All right, I'd like to give you 5 through 10. I'd like to do it in about 15 minutes. I didn't say I would. I said I'd like to. And so let's get going. Go to Ephesians chapter 1, if you would, please. Let me give you number 5 here. Ephesians chapter number 1. Look, if you would, in verse number 17. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 17. The Bible says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of what class? Wisdom, all right? In revelation, in the knowledge of him. So another name that the Spirit of God has is the Spirit of wisdom. Now hold your, you don't have to hold your hand here, but go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Let me show you how this comes together with the Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Look at you, if you would please, in verse number 24. The Bible says, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. So Christ is the wisdom of God. Look at verse number 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us, say it class, wisdom. So Christ is our wisdom. He is the wisdom of God. He is made unto us wisdom. Now, if there's anything that is desirable by God's people, it should be wisdom. Solomon let us know that, the importance of wisdom. The book of Proverbs lets us know about wisdom. Wisdom is not our own understanding. It's not our own intellect. Wisdom is Jesus Christ. So if the wisdom of Christ is going to be magnified in my life and through my life, it will be done by his Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom. So the wisdom, the filling of the Spirit of God brings to me the wisdom of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, knowledge. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. How many count on God's wisdom every day? We need God's wisdom. Have you ever made a decision without God's wisdom? Yeah, we paid a dear price. Paid a dear price. See, we look at a situation and a scenario, and we try to figure that thing in our brain. Man, so many times God's people who have not been filled with the Spirit of God, being led by that Spirit of wisdom, find themselves distracted. Distracted. Find themselves heading one way when wisdom really would take them this way. Find themselves confused and embattled over here, but here's clarity in the perception, in the direction, in the stability of wisdom. But if I'm not Spirit-filled and I don't have that Spirit of wisdom leading me throughout the day, then I can be distracted. What happens when you're driving down the road and you're distracted? An accident is very susceptible. Many of God's people have had spiritual accidents because they have not followed the Spirit of wisdom in their life. And by the way, there's no wisdom without God's word. So I say this all the time. The Bible says, this is where I go. This is veto, this is permission. This is everything about me. I do not trust Tom's opinion. I don't trust my own understanding. When you're sitting across the table from me and asking me, Pastor, what do you think? I'm asking God, God, give me wisdom. In the morning, Spirit of God, fill me. Provide for me wisdom today. We need wisdom so we're not distracted. So the reason for the filling of the Spirit of God, and one of the great blessings in the magnification of Christ and the character that wants to be perfected in our heart, is wisdom. You need to know what job to take, what house to buy, where to sell, who to marry, what to do, what job, here, whatever. Whatever we need, it begins with the filling of the Spirit of God for wisdom. Number 6, go if you would, 2 Timothy chapter 1. We'll stay here as far as to find our next 3. You probably know this verse, but if you go to 2 Timothy chapter number 1, there's 3 things here the Spirit of God is called. Look if you would in verse number 7, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. I want to stop right here. This would be a side note. That is a powerful statement. Are we to fear the Lord? Yes or no? Yes. But the spirit of fear is not something that God gives us. Are you a fearful person? Sometimes I meet people and they're so afraid of everything. Fear grips them. And I'm talking about godly people. I'm talking about people that would love the Lord, but they don't want to do whatever. Some people don't want to fly on an airplane because they're scared to death. Some people don't want to do something else because they've got this grip of fear on their life. Let me explain something to you. If you have a grip of fear on your life outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, that grip of fear did not come from God. Well, Pastor, I may not like certain things. I'm not talking about liking certain things. I'm talking about that thing of fear that paralyzes you, that thing that keeps you up, doesn't let you sleep, that thing that shakes you to your very core. See, we have not been given the spirit of fear. But here's what the Spirit of God is. Look at verse number 7. But of power, of love, and of a sound mind. And so why, Pastor, should I be filled with the Spirit of God? Because the Spirit of God is the Spirit of power. It allows me not to be defeated. It enables victory. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 4. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And so one of the fillings of the Spirit of God enables me to know the Spirit of power. And it gives me peace, gives me victory. It enables me to do things in calm assurance. Simple things like speaking for the Lord. Some of you are so terrified to ever give a word to Christ, you don't talk to anybody. You know why you're so afraid? You're not spirit-filled. Well, Pastor, I thought it was just I didn't like to be in front of people. No, you let somebody embarrass or hurt your wife, sir, and you'll stand up for them. Did I say them? I didn't say him, did I? I said them, right? Her. You'll stand up for your wife. But God's people, we kind of cower and shrink when we should stand up, maybe hand a tract, maybe invite somebody, maybe we get cautioned over here about witnessing Christ, but all of a sudden that spirit of fear grips hold of us. You know what? When you're filled with the Spirit of God, he gives you the spirit of power and enables you to do things you never dreamed you could ever do. Have you ever had that experience? Say amen. And the great thing about that is the peace of God that comes with that. I mean, literally, you can almost think yourself through the situation. You hear what you're saying and you're like, I'm amazed I'm saying this right now. And God enables you. The spirit of power. He's also called the spirit of love. In this chapter, and when I'm filled with the spirit of love, it enables me not to be divisive. The spirit of love enables me to love others. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you ought to read those verses in the description of charity. All of us ought to, our lives ought to magnify the love of Jesus Christ. Could I just say this? Learn to be a lover. It's okay to be a lover. It's good to be a lover. But God commendeth his, for God so, and herein is, if ye, the rich young ruler that walked away, the Bible says, Jesus beholding him, loved him. We need to learn to be lovers. Love is not a sissy word. It's a Bible word. There is power in love. I don't know how you can be a husband and not want to be filled with the Spirit of God so you have the spirit of love. I don't know how you be a dad and not be filled with the Spirit of God to have the spirit of love. Pastor, people annoy me. Well, best thing to do is be filled with the spirit of love. Amen. You'll never win anybody to Christ if you're not a lover. You never win anybody to Christ. And you'll never lead anybody without being a lover. You should be known because you're a lover. There's times to fight, and there's times to stand for truth. There's these times, but as the Spirit of God magnifies Christ in our lives, he'll do it in the spirit of love. A lot could be said about that. When the Spirit of love is in charge in my life, I will not be divisive. You know, divisive people are selfish people. You cannot love others and love yourself at the same time. You cannot be selfish in that matter. Agape love, which is the love the Spirit of God brings, is a selfless, sacrificial love. And so as I'm filled with the Spirit of God, I'm empty of who? Self. And as I'm empty of self and filled with the Spirit of God, then selfishness has been replaced with sacrificialness. And that selfish love for just me is replaced for the love of others. And so it's so imperative when you leave the house in the morning or throughout your day, that you're filled with that spirit of love. Otherwise, you won't respond right. Otherwise, that person who needs a word from God that day is going to annoy you instead of you drawing them to you. Your family's going to be, you're going to be short-tempered with them instead of being patient. The spirit of love disarms my divisiveness. Man, there's nothing more ugly than divisiveness. And somebody that divides in a selfish manner. And so the spirit of love, number 8, is called the spirit of a sound mind. The spirit of a sound mind in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7. This enables me not to be disturbed. This enables me to know stability in my thinking. This doesn't let me get rattled. This doesn't let me question as far as to the point of doubting. By the way, I watched the most ridiculous thing on CNN last night. Did anybody see that pastor from New York who actually got on television and said that Jesus was an atheist? I sat there and I thought, you got to be kidding me. This guy's a fool. He's a fool. And they were talking about how now one day there will be more people in America that don't believe in God than do right now. And they said the tide is turning. Now the young people are questioning. And they were on television and they're saying, well, it's okay to question and it's okay to doubt. Listen, I guess it could be okay to question. I guess it might be okay to doubt. But there's answers to your question and security for your doubt right there. And it's not okay to go apart from that. And so why do you need to be spirit-filled, sir, GPA 5.0, successful, aced your ACTs or SATs or whatever test you take? Why, sir, that's been a Christian for 50 years and you know all the Sunday school lessons or this or that? Well, why do I need to be spirit-filled? Because you and I both need a sound mind. Go, if you would, to Philippians. I want to show you a couple verses here. Powerful verses. Philippians chapter number 2. Paul writing to this church. Chapter 2 is about the submissive mind. And he says here, verse number 1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in, say it, Christ Jesus. So we need the mind of Christ. How do we get the mind of Christ? We have the Spirit of Christ. We are filled with the Spirit of God. Brings to us a sound mind. Go to chapter number 4. Look at verse number 6. Be careful. That word careful is anxious. Be anxious for nothing. That really handles anxiety. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts in mind. See, the Spirit of God, the filling of the Spirit of God, He is the spirit of a sound mind. There's no stability without the fullness of God, without the filling of the Spirit. There's only the openness to be disturbed. Now, let me tell you something, and I mean this with all my heart. You had better learn how to arrest your thoughts. You better learn how to bring every thought into captivity. Every thought you have is not a godly thought. And when those thoughts come in that disturb or distract or doubt from God's word, you need to recognize that thought. Don't linger on that thought. Don't entertain that thought. There are many times in my life, throughout the day, when I will actually do battle in my mind, and I will say, I arrest that thought. I bring that thought into captivity. I plead the blood of Christ over that thought. Spirit of God, fill me and give me a sound mind in this moment. Because once your mind is disturbed, you're in big trouble. Big trouble. You think about something long enough and you will do it. And so the Spirit of God brings to us a soundness, a stability, a steadfastness, a security in our mind. Number 9, Romans chapter 8, verse number 2. Romans chapter 8, verse number 2. You should just pop your Bible open. It should fall open to the book of Romans. 8, chapter 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So not only is he the Spirit of truth, faith, grace, holiness, wisdom, power, love, sound mind, he's also the Spirit of life. Hath made me free from the law of sin and death. My friends, let me tell you something. You have not nor ever experienced the fullness of life until you've experienced the fullness of the Spirit of God. He is the Spirit of life. I'm getting a little bit tired of dead men walking. What's dead men walking, Pastor? Dead man walking is the guy who knows he's saved and knows he's going to heaven, but it sure is hell getting there. And literally, they walk around like it's hell on earth. Oh yeah, I know one day I'm gonna get there, and I know this and I know that. You know, you ever watch the way people stand up? Does it not bother you when somebody stands hunched over? Sometimes I wanna go over and just go, straighten up right there. But I see sometimes people and they walk like this. I can't almost even do it. But I used to think they had posture problems. I'm not sure that's so true now. I think that God's people are walking in and I want to say this very carefully. Help me, Lord. They're actually revealing in their physical walk how they're doing in their spiritual walk. And they can't even stand up straight because they're carrying the hardness of life, the difficulty of life, the burdens of life. Do you know it's not your job to carry your cares? It's the job of Jesus Christ. Cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I don't think people have posture problems anymore. I think they have spiritual problems. They're not filled with the Spirit of God. They don't understand the Spirit of life. Listen. No Christian has it easy, but all Christians can know joy. And the trials of life, they're not going to drown you as far as defeat. They don't have to defeat you in that. You can know the fullness of life. There's nothing that compares with the thrill of waking up in the morning, submitting myself to the filling of the Spirit of God, and approaching the day in the joy of the Lord. But a person who isn't filled with the Spirit of God, it doesn't know the Spirit of life. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and to give it to you how? More abundantly. Well, where does the more abundantly come in, Pastor? I can't pay my bills. Where's the more abundantly come in? I'm going through tremendous problems in my relationships. Where's the more abundantly come in? My kids are messed up, Pastor. Where's the more abundantly come in? I'm tired. I'm sick. I'm this. Where's the more abundantly? Good question. Great question. I'll tell you exactly where it is. It's in the filling of the Spirit of God. It's in the emptying of self. It's in the joy of the Lord becoming my strength. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, listen, I'll handle all of the difficulties of life that the power of Christ may rest upon me. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of life. But if you don't let him fill you, I'm talking to saved people. If you don't let him fill you with his life, you'll never know the joy of the Lord. They tell me it takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile. I think they're lying, but they say that that's what it is. I'm kind of tired of seeing God's people not smile. we have reason to smile. We have reason to smile. Pastor, man, I lost my smile. Well, you know what you need to do? You need to find you a quiet place. And you need to empty yourself. Be filled with the Spirit of God. And let me tell you something. The Spirit of God will bring to you a joy, not measurable to your circumstances. He brings you a joy that is linked to Him. See, God's people, we have got this thing where we're all about life and what God can do for us and where we're headed and where we're going in our situation. But there's plenty of satisfaction in the person of Jesus Christ. That's why I preach to you, get to know Him, be filled with His Spirit. Irrelevant of my circumstances, He's enough to calm me in the storm. Amen? And so we've lost our spirit of life. Now we can't even stand up straight. Now all of you are going to walk out of here standing up straight, I know. Number 10, 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, and I'm done. First Peter chapter 4, verse number 14. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of what? Glory. He's the Spirit of glory. And of God resteth upon you. You know, the Spirit of glory rests upon you, but the recognition of that is in the fullness of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of glory enables me not to be depressed. You know, there's no depression in glory, is there? In just a few hours, we're going to watch the Miami Heat beat the Oklahoma Thunder, and we are going to celebrate with great glory. And there'll be no depression. I speak by faith, I hope. Listen, let me say something tenderly. There's not a lot of glory in our world right now. Most of God's people, we look at the political scene, we look at what our country's going through, and we don't see a lot of glory. People need glory. We need glory. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Bible talks about a glory that will be upon us. God talks about us serving for the glory of God. Glory is a vital part of our lives. It is the full expression and enjoyment of victory and peace and thrill and enthusiasm and vision. And you take away glory and we don't have much. I see a lot of God's people, we're the glory has been depressed out of us. Why? Because we're not filled with the Spirit of God. We try to live in the power of our own might and our own flesh. And we found real quick that there's no glory that we can muster. But when we learn the fullness of the Spirit of God in our lives, He is the Spirit of glory. We all love to celebrate, do we not? I love in the Olympic times when they wrap themselves in the flag and they stand up and they sing and they get that, and it's just a glory moment. Do you understand that because of what Jesus Christ did on that cross and what Jesus Christ did in that tomb, we are able to wrap ourselves in the glory of the Spirit of God and celebrate what we have in Him? Are you celebrating? He's the Spirit of truth, so you don't have to be deceived. Spirit of faith, so I'm not discouraged. Grace, so I'm not disgruntled. Holiness, so I'm not defiled. Wisdom, so I'm not distracted. Power, so I'm not defeated. Love, so I'm not a divisive person. Sound mind, because I'm not disturbed. Spirit of life, so I'm not dead and dried out. And the Spirit of glory, so I'm not depressed. All of these things the Spirit of God will do in our lives. Do not underestimate being filled with the Spirit of God. May God bless you. Let's pray.